So what we want to do this morning, we want to talk about a couple of things. Can you put up 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40 for me, please, Candace? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. This is what it says. It says, "But be sure that everything is done properly and in order." Can you give me which translation? Is it NIV? NLT, give me NIV, give me King James, New King James, please. "But be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order." Now, you see, this is Paul, leave it up there. This is Paul the Apostle writing, and then Candace will make some notes just now, but leave that for now. You see, he's saying the church of God has got to be a place where all things, not some things, all things in the church of God must be done decently. Now, decently means that it is of a standard and a quality that is noteworthy or praiseworthy. So whatever we're going to do for God must be done decently. If it's not done decently, yes, I'm afraid God's not going to receive it. Something that's indecent is not going to be received by God. It's going to be rejected. Yes. You know, the lady had two mites and she brought the two pennies up. But you know what happened? Jesus was looking over the offering because Jesus wanted to see who brought what. And some of you got that band, "What to Jesus?" I should get one. Jesus would look at your offering and he would see how you bring it. And he'll see if it was brought decently and in order. The lady only had two mites, but she brought it, she came up, she presented it. It was done decently. The lady followed the rabbis and the clergy. She followed them because there's order. Jesus presided over order. The church of God is a place of order. Now, who rejects order? I'll tell you, the devil rejects order because in heaven there was an order. The order in heaven was God Almighty, God's Holy Spirit, Jesus. That's the order. And then came the angels, that's in heaven. After Genesis 1, the order shifts because now comes man who's above angels. But in heaven, the angels come last in the order. But Lucifer, who's the head of worship, now violates order. And by violating order, Lucifer is rejected out of heaven and becomes Satan. A lack of order will cause you and I to be ejected from the will of God. So who dislikes order? Anyone who has not fully submitted, you may be born again, but if your heart and your spirit is not fully submitted to Christ,
yes,
you will not embrace order. Yes. The person or persons who don't like, what's this order thing in the church? You need deliverance. Because the church of God is a place of order. Heaven is a place of order. When God created the earth, he put everything in order. And it still functions today. You can't create fish with nowhere to go. He first created the waters. Mm. Then he put the fish. Order. You were not created without provision. It is disorder that will keep you away from your inheritance. Disorder will not only make you an unlikable person, disorder will keep you and make you a poor person. Doesn't matter if you start poor. You can become rich. But if you got something, you disorder will take a person to nothing. The truth is in the home. There's disorder in the home. The child goes into society. And the parents say, "He's man net so. No, you had no order. That's why he's like that." So God says, let all things be done decently, with excellence, and in order. Disorder and chaos is not the presence of God. The Holy Spirit only moves exclusively, 100% in an environment of order. In a haphazard place, the Holy Spirit will not move. You want more of the presence of God in your life? Then embrace the order of God. You find that most successful people has a routine in their life. Routine is the golden wheels on the royal road of success. Routine is the golden wheels on the royal road of success. It is proven. You know, animals have a routine. They were designed that way. You too. It is proven that. They asked my aunt sitting. She was a principal of Montessori many years. She can tell you. Children that comes to the school that has a routine at home, they thrive. The ones that it's haphazard, they watch TV till they feel like they sleep, they do. You've set up that child for failure. The children with routine, they thrive the best. You know why? It's the order that God created from the start. Don't eat when you feel like it. Set dinner time. Set dinner time. And at dinner time, if you choose to leave the Wi-Fi connected, you mustn't ask later, "I don't know why she don't want to study." It's you. You left the Wi-Fi on when it was time for dinner. It was the time we were all supposed to talk and connect as a family. Now when you grow up, you say, "These children of today, they just sit like," it's because of you. It's not the children of today. It really is. It really is. Let all things be done decently and in order. Winners Church is a church of order. We embrace order. Tell you why we embrace order. Because we are too afraid to do church without the Holy Ghost. We don't show up and we just went to church. No. We come and drink from rivers of living water. And so it's too costly to be disorderly. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. I say praise God. Yes. Now, if you look at, I'm going to just work on with what Pastor Tommy was sharing and what Junior shared. It's one sentence, really. It's the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. Will you come over to 1 Samuel chapter 26? And the scripture says, verse 1, "Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, 'Is David not hiding in the hill of Hachilah, opposite Jeshimon?' Then Saul rose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph." You are taking 3,000 of the best soldiers to seek one man. "And Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness." You see, sometimes God will keep you in the wilderness to protect you,
yes,
and preserve you for the right time.
Amen.
You see, Liam was quiet all the years, and God was preserving him,
yes,
for a time,
yes,
that it would have a quantum leap.
Amen.
And that's what's happening.
Amen.
"And Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road, but David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after into the wilderness." Verse 4. "David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped, and David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, where the people encamped all around him. And David answered and said to Ahimelech," or we'll just say Jerusalem, "little Hittite, to Abishai, the son of Zerubbabel, brother of Joab," saying, imagine if we talk like that. "Liam, the son of Donovan, the brother of Curtis, the nephew of Sister Marilyn." We've come a long way. "So David and Abishai," verse 7, "came to the people by night, and there lay Saul sleeping within the camp, and his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. So Saul is sleeping, and his weapon is down, and all his guards are encircling him. Then Abishai said to David, 'God has delivered your enemy into your hand,'" because he's sleeping and he's got the spear there. So he's saying, "You can go and destroy him now." He says, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please, let me strike him at once with a spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time." Now, let's just stop there for a minute. How many times has people told you, someone brought you a deal? The deal was corrupt. Someone said to you, "Hey, ke ku bless the Here for you, bro. My goodness. Wow." You know the deal is corrupt, and you're telling the person, "Look how the Lord blessed you." It's not the Lord. He's used the Lord's name. The Lord is blamed for a lot of things. Because he says, "Look, the Lord has delivered him," but it's not the Lord. What happened? Abner was out of order. Verse 9. "But David said to Abishai, 'Do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?'" You see, David has got so much common sense. Here is Saul coming with 3,000 choice soldiers, mercenaries, the best in the business. 3,000 seeking out one man. And here David still says, "Who can touch?" He's got common sense, because he knows if I touch him, whatever promise of God is on my life is now null and void. This is the reason you are carrying a prophecy, some of you, and it still didn't come to pass. This is the reason some are carrying a gifting and it's ended up as nothing. Because you say, "How did I touch?" You spoke one day, or you listened one day. This is, now if David, I can tell you today before the living, we'll have a different Bible if it was, if David allowed Abner to strike Saul, David would be rejected. Oh, glory to God.
Yes.
All right, can we break it down? Can we bring it closer to home? How do I touch the anointed? I don't touch the anointed. I love God. I go to church. I mind my own business. But the pastor of the church said, so love and greet people, you don't greet. You rejected what he said.
Yes.
So you have touched the anointed because he spoke. You went opposite. Now you ask, is it just me? Of course, it's you. Verse 10. David said furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him. Let God be God and his enemies be scattered. This is not your fight. It's God's fight. Why are you taking the battle into your hands? Or his day shall come to die. You know, David was prepared to wait until, if Saul had to live until 120. There's the scripture. You don't have to push an agenda that is from God. If God said you'll be a multimillionaire, you don't have to push the agenda to do it scrupulously. You just need to be faithful.
Amen.
You say better amen today. Verse 11, the Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against, number two, he said again, the Lord's anointed. This man is coming in the name of murder, because he's coming to murder David, isn't it? Bible said, thou shalt not murder. He's coming in the name of murder to murder David, and what does David call him? The Lord's anointed. Why? Because David, when he was in the wilderness, when he was in the sheepfold there looking after the sheep, he recounted the words of the Lord. And he knew that the Lord's words are that my gifts and my callings are without repentance. David knew. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head and let us go. So David took the spear, he's right there, and the jug of water by Saul's head. Can I ask you a question? How can 3,000 people sleep all at once?
Sure.
Did they eat a meal full of Valium 5s? It wasn't even produced. If you're in insomnia, we'll pray for you and you won't need Valium 5 no more. Here's the point. Now I'm saying that because my pastor said years ago, he said someone came and said, Pastor, please pray that I'll be able to get this Valium 5 without prescription. Man, get healing. My God. Just get healing. Now, isn't it? Just remember where I'm at.
Yes.
Now, isn't it wonderful that we hear some building noise?
Yes.
Yes.
Because they are getting the sanctuary ready.
Yes.
And God bless you,
yes,
that have sown, that have sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight I'll give you a wonderful update. But I can tell you the work is going forth unhindered, unabated, unchecked.
Yes.
By any, oh, but now I know there's one sister or brother, but isn't it people should have gone to church? You listen, they'll be having church after church upstairs.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. We have church with them almost every day. Praise
Amen.
God.
Aye,
my pastor itom hakava ne. So, how can 3,000 people be sleeping at once? The Lord. Why? Not so David can kill him, so David's heart can be tested.
Yes.
This was the test of David's character.
Yes.
There are times when the deal will be presented to you and it's got no integrity on it, and it's your test. You take the deal and you won't be king. Where's Larry? I tell you, it will be the day. It will be 36 degrees. The skirt will be very short, brother. And you are going to have to exercise every self-control, Sister Karen taught you. You're going to have to remember the story of Joseph we preached, how he took his coat and ran off. Because if you stay at that beach, see, everyone's got to exercise some self-control somewhere. Amen. We're killing some religious spirits this morning. That's fine. Might as well kill it in church. Amen. The day will come where someone will tell you, why are you struggling? Come, I'll show you someone. They'll make a way there. You take the way. You buy that license and you don't get it.
Yes.
You buy that matric. You'll cry one day.
Yes.
The Lord put them to sleep. 3,000 in one go. My God. Luke verse 13. Now David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great distance between them. Because he knows God's going to wake them up. And David called out to the people, to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, do you not answer, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who are you calling out to the king? So David said to Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord, the king? Who's the king? So, for one of the people came in to destroy your lord, the king. Now they're having a conversation. And Saul is saying, are we? This thing that you have done is not good as the Lord lives. You deserve to die because you have not guarded your master. He's telling the one, what about the 3,000? The Lord's anointed. And now, see where the king's spear is. He's here with us. And the jug of water that was by his head. And now Saul got no teeth, and he said, no, because the teeth is in the jug. That's why it's by his head.
So it's from Cape Town.
It's from Cape Town. It happened under Devil's Peak. That's why they call it Devil's Peak. I don't know how you read the Bible. Then Saul knew David's voice and said, is that your voice, my son David? My son David. Listen, I want to tell you today. God will bless the person you don't like just to test your character. God will bless your enemy to see what comes out of your mouth. And if you don't grow up, God will keep blessing everyone but you. Until, you see, God is very patient. He'll wait for you to grow up. So the better thing to do is grow up now. He's a patient God. Verse 17, then Saul knew David's voice and said, is that you, your voice, my son David? David said, it is my voice. Listen what he says. He don't say, Yanes ek me, brah. No, 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 no. He say, my Lord. Order. My Lord. Order took this boy and made this boy a king. Order promoted this boy. Order took Joseph out of the prison and put him in the palace. You ask me how? The Bible say when Pharaoh, or when Potiphar summoned Joseph to come up to meet him, Hebrews never used to shave. Hebrews didn't shave. They wore beards. The Bible say Joseph shaved himself. You know why? Not because of his culture. Because he was now honoring the authority above him.
Yes,
he was
yes.
honoring Potiphar.
Yes.
So that is why he shaved himself. Sometimes you are called to a meeting and you say, that's why you're still unemployed.
Yes.
That's why you're still at the same level. You want to get to the next level,
yes.
then you need to learn how to honor protocols and environments. You need to know the protocols of the environments that you enter into.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You promote a person of disorder, you are jumping off a cliff without testing the parachute.
Yes.
A person of disorder will bring your household, your company, and everything down. I know you say, but I can't change him, Pastor. You are fooling yourself, dear. We are going to have to talk to you at single mothers' classes.
Yes.
Because you cannot change a person of disorder.
Amen.
The only place a person of disorder can change is in the presence of Almighty God under the Word of God. You
Amen.
Come to this church, you will grow in order. Because
yes.
the kingdom of God functions by order.
Yes.
So this David has got order. He says, my Lord the King. Then listen, then look at verse 18, and he said, why does my Lord thus pursue his servant? Some of you talk to your dad like this. You know, you didn't give my airtime. How can you call him you? This father wants to kill his son. And he says, my Lord. No, I will never write to, I make an example, they're recording this way. I will never write on the text or whatever. I will never write to Bishop, you? I can't, how can I? Did Bishop request this from me? Can I tell you something? I will put it in capital B, because if I must call a country in capital, what about God's anointing? He says, why does my Lord, the man is coming to kill him. He says, why does my Lord pursue his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my Lord, the king, hear the words of his servant. Because as long as Saul is on the throne, he is the king. With all of his sorcerers, with all of his errors, with all of his shortcomings, he is the king. Let me illustrate. Noah's sons. Noah is lying uncovered in the tent. The ones, can we just not preach together? Thank you. So Noah is lying with his uncovered. And the sons come in and the father is naked and he's drunk. And you know what the Bible says? The other sons turned around so that they not shame their father. But the one son says, look at him. You know what happened to that son? He became cursed forever. Order. And he said, does my Lord thus pursue his servant? What have I done? Now therefore, please let my Lord the King hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept my offering. Oh my. He say, if God did this, it's okay. That God did. But if it is the children of men, you see, the children of men will tell you, you heard what sister so and so said about you. You never heard it yourself. Now you are mad at sister so and so. The children of men. The children of men has caused people to not talk for years. The children of men. The voices of people. That is why in this church, people knows. You cannot come and tell, Pastor, no so-and-so, but I will say, call so-and-so. Let's talk together.
Amen.
I will not receive so-and-so. So-and-so. No. You want to tell me about so-and-so? Must come together. You must only be able to tell me what we are able to verify. If I cannot go and verify, then you are wasting your time, because it means you are stirring. It don't work here, you see. Here we do it like David. Amen. Here we do it like Joseph. Last time I checked, Joseph became prime minister. Last time I checked, David became king. We might as well stay in this company. Look at what he says. But if the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Men have driven you out. Let's talk about a rumor quickly. You know a rumor? I can see those spirits say, oh, as he passed, don't worry. Don't worry. Relax. Let me tell you about a rumor. A rumor is something that, let's say I start the rumor and I say, hey, I tell Pastor Tommy, hey, you know, now I must look for a mature person. And the other one will say, why, Pastor Preach? Hey, you know that Chad Marks? Hey, Pastor Tommy, that Chad Marks. I don't know if you saw what I saw. Now, he have no issue with Chad Marks. Now he heard me. Now, when he see Chad Marks, he goes to the table, there's four people sitting. He say, hello, Brother Tsepo. Hello, Linton. Hi, Curtis. And he didn't greet Chad Marks because he heard a rumor. You know what? Can I tell you something? It is not Pastor Tommy who offended him. I'm the source. The source of saying something that causes another to stumble will have to bear the weight. Do not say anything about anybody that will cause anyone in life. Let's take it by your workplace. You don't like the new secretary there because she have manners. She come on time and she go to gym. So you are cross. You only want to eat Lay's. Now God help you if you eat Lay's. You only want to eat peanut snack or whatever you eat. You don't want to go to gym. You hate her discipline. So all you do now, you don't like her. So because you don't like her, you now go to the boss and you say, you know, I last saw so-and-so. And she was late that day, you know, and you told everyone to be early. Now the boss, watch, he views the new secretary in a very bad light. She's supposed to get 4 on the appraisal. She gets 3.2. Her increase was affected. Can I tell you something? You know who's going to carry the loss? The one who started it.
Yes.
He'll carry the loss forever. Let us never cause anyone to stumble through our words, our action, or our deeds. Let us learn from David. Now we can say a better amen. Watch this. Verse 20. So now, do not let my blood fall for the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea. I mean, I'm one person, you came with 3,000? As when one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David. You see, my son. For I will harm you no more. You liar. Because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool. You know, this fool is still saying he played the fool. I'm saying the fool because he was David's king there. You say, oh my king. He said, this fool, I've played the fool and erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, here is the king's spear. He don't say, here's your spear. Here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. Look how much respect this young man. And David answered and said, verse 23, may the Lord repay every man what I just taught you now. For his righteousness. Because the ones who acted unrighteously will be carrying what they did, you see. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today. But I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. So David went on his way and Saul returned to his place. Look at verse 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I'll escape out of his hand. You see, even after David submits, makes peace, he still says, let me leave the land because in case Saul comes to kill me. He doesn't trust Saul. Now, here's my point. My point is, David has got the spirit of submission. If you want to ever be used by God, you will have to be submitted to authority. God does not operate outside. Now, I'm coming to the points, Pastor Tommy was sharing, and even Junior earlier. You see, this if we become complacent on the disciplines of God, God does not operate outside of authority. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how well you sing. I don't care how good you dance. I don't care. If you are not submitted to authority, God rejects your gift. A gift that is unsubmitted is still a gift functioning because God gave it, but the gift will destroy the person who's carrying the gift. No one will ever preach in Winners Church if they are not submitted to an authority. They come and say, hey, God called me, you know, I must come preach. Under who are you? Under who are you? I'm under God. Under God, go into the classroom and preach there, my friend. We want to know who's your pastor. Yes. We want to know where you go to church. We want to know. Can I tell you something this morning? You know, we have a policy here. We will help people that if they once fell on tough times, they were once a tither. We will help, because if you were once a tither and you fell on tough times, we will help you. But if we check the record and you never tithe, how can we help what God is killing? Because when you didn't tithe, he said, if you steal from him his tithe, okay, he cannot protect you. Now your protection is gone. Now you want us to throw you a lifeline when God is dealing with you. You don't like my version, I understand. But I'm breaking it down for you. How you stole from God, now we must help the one who stole from God. No. If there was a record, you fell on a tough time, it happened. If there's a record, you fell on a tough time, we check the record, we say, no, this one is faithful. We will help you. Amen. If there was no record, now God is dealing with your stealing. Because if you take his tithe, he stole it. He's dealing with your stealing, and now we must help you. Oh, you say better amen today.
Amen.
Glory to God. Is it in the Bible? Yes, the Bible. Go and read. Go and read. He says, will a man rob God? Well, that's good teaching, Pastor. That's good teaching. Yeah, it is. It really is. It's teaching from the spirit man now. Amen. I'm going to deal with one or two more and then we're going to close, right? You know, the scripture says, I shared this morning, the scripture says, Candace, will you put this up for me, please? Put up John 20, verse 2, please. John 20, verse 2. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now, do you know that the one who is writing this is writing about himself? He's saying, and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, said to them, John is writing the Gospel of John, and he's writing about himself. I'm the one that Jesus loves, you know. It's not Peter who said, you know, John the one who Jesus loved. It's John who said, you know, John the one who Jesus loved. There are people, they want others to know the pastor loved them the most. They are lying. It is an indication of their immaturity. When you are loved, you are secured. When you are loved, you don't shout it out. When you are loved, you don't advertise it. Oh, glory to God. Why is this important? Because security is important. You need to know who you are in Christ in order to for God to entrust bigger things to you. Amen. Praise God. Don't worry, it will get much better tonight. Hallelujah. This is good. This is, let me tell you, saying, where's pastor going to say I'm getting my money? I'm helping you. I'm helping you. You know what this is? You know what this is? This is called character building. And I tell you something, when you grow your character and you grow your wisdom, provision follows character, isn't it? People want us to take out our white handkerchief. Where is that white handkerchief? My Lord, this one got blue stripes and say, oh, the power, the power. I'm showing you the power without the handkerchief. Oh, glory to God. Amen. We are raising a remnant in this church that is being distinguished in society. There was a word spoken by the president of Kenneth Copeland Ministries that is a word for our church. I told you tonight you must come and file your claim in the anointing service. She said this is the word for your church, Pastor. Everything from 2011 that was stolen, that was held up, she said it's not going to happen automatically. It must be filed. So tonight, whatever the devil has stolen, whatever you trust in God for, unfulfilled prophecies, if it was in line with God's word, unfulfilled promises, breakthroughs, deals that went out, things you were stolen from you, whatever it is, pertaining to life, business, family, marriage, ministry, whatever it was, you bring it and we file the claim tonight in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Two things and then we close. Are we still good this morning?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Can you put up Acts 10 about Philip, please? Before that. John 21 says this. Please, if you can just give me 3 minutes, we'll be done. John 21 says that prior to John 21, Jesus needed to preach. He needed a boat. Why? There was no sound systems those days. So the sound system was if you stood by the shore and you preached, then the waves would carry your voice because sound travels. So Jesus needed a boat. So Peter said to him, you can use my boat. Jesus used Peter's boat and Jesus preached to the multitudes. Now Hebrews 6 verse 10 tells us God is not unrighteous to forget your labors of love in that you have ministered and continue to minister to the saints. Sister Karen says to me on Friday night, Master, when we look at Liam's results he brought home Friday, it is what money cannot buy. Well, it is also God remembering you because he's remembering your labors, your labors of love. So when you are involved in the work of God, your labors of love are forever recorded and it is raised as a memorial before God for you and your children and children's children.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so, Jesus remembers that. Peter is a skilled fisherman. He's not a novice because he fished there with his great-great-grandfather because they come from that region. They know the sea. He grew up on sea. When Jesus called Peter to follow him, Peter was fishing. This is a skilled man. He knows what time to fish, where to fish. He goes out and he catches nothing. Back and Jesus said, well, can you give us something to eat? He says, we have nothing. Jesus said to Peter, let's go back. He said, you mean go back? There's nothing. He said, let's go back. At the sound of Jesus' voice, they go back. Jesus says to Peter, cast your net on the other side. Same water, same sea. Different assignment now. Peter casts his net. This is in the same day. It just came in the morning. Remember we said the day starts at sunset before. The same day. Casts his net. And the Bible says in John 21, he got so much fish that he had to now call his partners who were also had nothing. Because he couldn't contain all of it. He said to them, come. Now watch what's happening. Peter is blessed. Why? If you're a partner of this church, believe me when I tell you, you are blessed. Peter is blessed because he partnered with Jesus' ministry by giving his boat to Jesus to preach. Jesus remembered it and now issues a word to Peter. At the word of Jesus, all the fish came from all the other seas. They eternity invaded time. They swam into that net. So much so, Peter cannot contain it. He has to now call his partners that partners with him. So what's happening? The people partnering with Peter are blessed as a result of Peter. What am I saying? The Bible says, plant yourself so that you may grow. God is not into transplanting. If you transplant a plant, it cannot grow. We do not talk membership in Winners Church because that we refer you to Virgin Active. You join in, you join out. You member in, you member out. Winners Church, we have partners. We partner with a vision. So if in your heart you are not planted or you come to this church, you enjoy coming, your heart says amen when you hear the word. I know it challenges you. I know you don't like to hear about character stuff sometimes. I know you, but you know you are growing. You know I can raise my kids correctly. You know I can shift the next generation. So you say, no, there's character building here. You like you come in, you say, no, the praise and worship is good. I love the songs. I love the presence of God. If that is you, and you say, this is the church God is bringing me to. The way we receive you in this church, you come to a program, we do three courses, 3 days, or evenings, we do three courses. Once you have completed the three courses, we talk about the vision, we talk about what does the Word of God say about the local church, how you partake of the grace of God in the church. Brother Copeland said the other day at the Faith Conference, if you are part of that congregation, you share in the wealth of that congregation. Whatever God's doing, you lay a claim to it. But you can only do it if you're a partner.